Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
This is a sleepy Wednesday after the doubleheader. You can call it a hangover. You can call it whatever you want to call it. It just wasn't their best. It happens. That's why we play 162 of them. For the life of me, I just can't overreact to a game like this where Michael McGreevy pitched well. The Brewers didn't pitch well, but it wasn't as bad as it looked. I think the defense really pitched, didn't help out the pitching at all today. Kyle Harrison only went four innings. We'll dive into that here in the first segment. The offense was really stuck in neutral aside from Garrett Mitchell and Cooper Pratt. Once again, they've got a little bit of a slump that they're dealing with at the top of this order, but hey, they still won the series and got a chance to go with a 4-1 series against the Cardinals tomorrow. And they've already clinched a winning road trip here, currently at 5-2 on this trip, at least this first segment of the trip. Then they go on to Pittsburgh. But with Jerry Augustine, I'm Dominic Catronio. You know, we see this from time to time. You come out after a doubleheader and you played great in both games of the doubleheader. You played great on Monday night as well. And you know what? Sometimes you come out flat. And honestly, you can bang the table and try to expend energy to fix it, or you just say, that's baseball, Susan. And I'm just kind of going with, that's baseball, Susan.
Yeah, they were on such a good roll. You know, look in the way they played the first game and came back and scored three runs late in the ball game and won that ball game. First game yesterday, get a big hit from Yelly, gets the big hit in the seventh inning. They're able to win that ball game and then broke loose in the inning. They're playing such good aggressive baseball in all phases, doing exactly what you needed to do to score runs. I think seventh inning was a big inning for them, the last four games when they won four in a row. But, you know, the team played well. Today came out a little bit flat, and things didn't go well from the beginning. You had the misjudged ball in right field, which is an extreme, looked like it was a much tougher play for Lara than it really appeared to be. So things got off to a little bit of a funny start, and it didn't go well for Brewers. And you got to give credit to McGreevy because I thought he threw the ball very, very well.
You know, when I look at it for the Brewers of the defense that they need, and Pat Murphy talked about this in his post-game press conference too, is not only Lara getting hit in the face on a ball that he needed to catch, and Garrett Mitchell not catching a ball in the gap in right center field. And this is where I tell people, and I think Garrett Mitchell's a heck of a player, and I know he's somebody that's worked hard on his defense, and I know he's got blazing speed. His reads tend to be a little bit slow, but this is a reminder of why, even as a nerd, I'm telling people to take the nerd numbers with a grain of salt, because he's rated in the 86th percentile when it comes to range on outs above average. That's three outs above average, and his arm value is rated as a 14th percentile, as a minus two runs against him. Look, I know he's missed cutoff man a couple of times. He's got a hose for an arm. And again, I know he's made a couple of nice plays. I think there are a few times, like we saw tonight, where he did not quite track down a ball that maybe some in the Brewers organization feel he could have. He's still getting those day-to-day reps underneath him. He will get those, hopefully, by the end of the season. They didn't help Kyle Harrison at all, but the other fact of this, Augie, is Kyle's a little flat right now. You know, he was not really getting over 95. He had a couple scraped 96 today. To me, just reading the body language and reading the velocity and some of the under-the-hood numbers today, it's like, you know what? This dude's ready for an all-star break. And we got to also give a little bit of credit here and a little bit of grace about Kyle. In this is now the most he's really consistently pitched in the big leagues since his rookie year, since 2024 when he was dealing with shoulder issues in 2024. He only made 24 starts that year and had a 4.5 ERA as a 22-year-old. Whereas now he's 24. He's made almost every start this year, all but one when he was dealing with the knee from Gary Sanchez. But I think the way I look at it, this is a perfectly timed all-star break for Kyle Harrison. Let him take the breather. Probably get a full 8, 9, 10 days off here to get him refreshed for the second half.
I totally agree with you. I think you hit a perfect point. You know, you go through, you get through a season, you all of a sudden you haven't had this consistent starting, and he only missed the one start, and he's been very consistent in going out there. It just seemed like the last two games, the fastball has kind of been getting away. He hasn't been locating being able to locate it and expand the strike zone like he had earlier this season. And looks like the sweeper was just not quite as strong as it then. And those things do happen. You get games where you're going to go through a lull. It's a long season. You're going to go through starts, and then you have to regenerate yourself. And I tell the All-Star break does for this Brewer pitching staff will come being so young and getting so many guys out there. It's really coming at a good time to take that little break, get regenerated, and be able to go out and start the second half of the season or second part of the season after the All-Star break. But, you know, Kyle just hasn't been in sharp. I thought last time out was just about the same way. Just didn't command where the strike zone with his fastball, where he could expand the strike zone. Today he just couldn't do it, and Cardinals got to him early, and that was the difference in the ball game.
You know, the fastball is no secret, right? There's tape on everybody, and today was one of his lower fastball usage rates in the season because, as you said, the Cardinals were all over the heater, but they were not on the slurve and the changeup. He did not allow a hit on his secondaries in today's game. He threw almost 40% slurves, 16% changeups, which is more in line with his season average. The changeup's been a really hard pitch for him to master. He's really putting it on difficult mode with the kick change that he's trying to throw. But one thing I want to ask you, Augie, is Kyle's somebody that talked about in spring training that he added some weight, good weight, and not necessarily, you know, something that was necessary, but he says it's something he needed to make sure he got through the rigors of a season. Can you paint the picture of how much physicality a pitcher goes through in a season, especially in these hot summer months, of where it now becomes a struggle to keep that weight on in the middle of the season to try to get through to the end of the year when you're trying to feel better and better as the year goes on? I don't think people really understand how hard it is for pitchers to keep weight on throughout the season.
Well, it is. It's extremely difficult. As you go through the season, first of all, you're going to get somewhere between 28 and 33 starts. We all know what that is going to be in that area. But getting in a routine, you always want to stay in your routine that makes you feel competitive, makes you feel that every time you go out there that you feel comfortable in what you want to do, that when you go out, you're going to be able to execute the game plan that you need to have. And as you do that over and over again, it does start to wear on you because you're trying to keep that routine up. You're trying to be able to get that proper workout that you need to have. And it does drain on you. Does drain on you because you're doing it on a consistent basis, and you're going out there each and every time and staying strong. And it gets to a part of the season, and you're going to see this pitching staff as the season goes along, especially after the All-Star break. That routine is going to change a little bit, and I think that's what Chris Hook and Jim Henderson are really, really good at, is saying, "Hey, you know what? Here's what we're seeing the first half of the season. Kyle, this is where you've been the last two starts, getting away from yourself. Now let's take that routine and let's change it a little bit." But Dom, it is extremely difficult, especially when you get to that 15 to 20 start area on a consistent basis with a routine. It just starts working on you, keeping up, and it's hard to keep the weight on because you want to stay in your routine. Not only physically and throwing the baseball, but, you know, the other parts of your life, too, your eating habits, the way you get your rest, and all these things change as you go along. And that 15 to 20 part of the season, that start of the season, that's a really tough area. Then once you get past the All-Star break, you kind of go in there and you kind of change your routine a little bit. Hopefully you can get that thing regenerated and go back out there. I think he will. It just seems like he was off the last two starts. I think taking a little bit of break now is really going to do him a lot of good.
You know, and for Kyle Harrison, let's also not all hit the panic button here. He has a 3.01 ERA now on the season, and that includes two clunkers, one in Arizona and one in Las Vegas. It's a reminder that, hey, he's 24 years old. He's under team control for another 3 years. Like, he's not going anywhere. There's nothing that I'm in fear of. He's had back-to-back clunkers. He's got an All-Star break. He didn't walk a batter. He's throwing strikes. It wasn't like he got ugly. He just wasn't getting swings and misses, and I think there's an adjustment to be made there. And maybe in the offseason, the big task right now, I think Kyle Harrison can deal with, is trying to develop that third pitch to get something off of the slider and the changeup. It wasn't Kyle's day. It wasn't the offense's day neither. There's some alarming numbers about this road trip so far for the crew, but again, part of this could be the divided attention that we talk about heading into the All-Star break. We'll talk more with Jerry Augustine and you, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall today 5-1 to the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm Dominic Petromeo. Both teams had 7 hits. Problem is, 2 of them left the yard for the Cardinals. Brewers just had 2 doubles. They left 7 on base, including a key opportunity in the first inning with the bases loaded. Luis Lara ended up bouncing out to end the first inning. Then St. Louis responded with a 2-run homer in the bottom of the first inning, or I should say back 3 doubles in the bottom of the first inning. One from Wynn on a misplay and right by Lara, one from Walker on a shot to right center field, and then one from Burleson as well, and he would later add a 2-run homer to really put this game out of reach in the 6th. You know, offensively for the Crew, yesterday they had such a great day, especially in game 2 of the doubleheader, obviously. 2-for-6 with runners in scoring position, even that's misleading because of all the opportunities in that first inning. In the middle of this game, I tip my cap to Michael Grieve. He spun the heck out of the baseball today, and there's something that kept the Brewers off balance, and I was very impressed with the righty who worked into the 7th inning today.
Yeah, I was overly impressed with him, too. He looked like right from the beginning that he was going to show the Brewers that he could pitch to both sides of the plate. And I thought he really used the inside part of the plate really well and just showing the hitters that, hey, I'm going to back you off the plate and then use his breaking ball, keep him offside, make him reach for the swings. I thought that's where he did such a good job, is being able to use the breaking ball effectively, but really pitching to show that, hey, I'm going to go in on you. I'm going to straighten you up a little bit. I'm going to show you I'm going to go in, and I can go in there for a strike when I need to. But, boy, that breaking ball, keeping you off stride with the breaking ball, I thought he did an outstanding job, kept the Brewers off stride. You got to throw strikes, and the one thing he did, he stayed ahead of hitters.
You know, when I look at it for the Brewers, too, the other thing that they struggled with today was the ABS challenge system. And there was a couple of texts in here asking about that today. And this has been a recurring theme we've seen a couple of times now, Augie, where the Brewers are sort of hesitant to challenge, especially when William got one right early in the game. Then he had to get one wrong in the 3rd inning behind the plates. And then that also puts hitters behind the 8-ball. If you don't want to be the guy that then loses the challenge if you're wrong, especially late in the game, the Brewers left a few go by that they could have challenged. I don't know if there's an overhaul you can really do in the middle of the season, but the Brewers have been very consistent in saying, save these challenges for defense. We think they're more important for defense than they are for offense. Sometimes you're just going to have to eat a strike, but I just wonder if they just take a little bit more of an aggressive approach. They'll be right more often than they realize, and it really could change some of these 1-1 counts that, you know, can flip to 2-1, and you never know what can happen from there.
Yeah, I agree with you. It just seems there's a lot of pitches that they could have challenged, and they probably would have won most of them, and they haven't been aggressive that way. I think this is with this system this year, it is something that they started in spring training, and they're having it during the season, being able to use it. I think once they go through and they look at the analytics and seeing what it's done so far, where the pitches are been, and they'll come up with a good team game plan. Well, they'd probably, the second half of the season, be a little bit more aggressive and see how it works up for them. There's a lot of pitches, especially tonight, I thought, where they could have probably challenged and won those challenges. But, I think they're on a game plan trying to understand how they want to use it and what's going to be the most effective for our ball club. How do we need them? Do we want to make sure that we have them late in the game? Those are all things that they're trying to analyze right now and try to come up with. And I think the second half of the season, you may see them be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the thing that I'm concerned about, and just kind of pointing out again, All-Star break is around the corner, not only for the pitchers, but for the offense as well. We've talked about Garrett Mitchell plenty. He continues to be on fire since late May, early June. Joey Ortiz has had a phenomenal road trip. He's 9-for-21 on this road trip to lead the team in hitting. Even Bryce Durang, he had the full day off today, as confirmed by Pat Murphy in the postgame session today. But you can look at it glass half full, glass half empty right now, right, Augie? Because Yelly on this trip is just 5-for-29. Contreras is just 4-for-23. Churio is just 5-for-28, and that includes a homer in Arizona. Yelly includes a homer in Arizona as well. Sal is just 1-for-19 on this road trip, too. And yet, the Brewers are still somehow 5-2 so far, 7 games into this 11-game trip. And I sit here and go, well, when your aircraft carriers start to be aircraft carriers again, this offense will be right back on track.
I agree with you. At the start of season, you know, the one thing that's really good about this ball club, Dom, is they play all three phases very strong. And we used to talk about this team, how they're leading the Major League Baseball in scoring runs with two outs. Well, now they're actually leading Major League Baseball with runs scored seventh inning or later. Another thing that says, hey, you know what? If you keep them close, this club can still find a way. Even though they don't really swing the bat early and well in the game, they're going to stick with it, and they're going to score some runs late in the game. That's making those great adjustments at bats. But this is a time of year where I think everybody is just needs a little bit of break, is a little bit of overhauling, get their mindset back a little bit, and start off the second part of the season really well. I think that's what this team is doing. But also, I think this season wants to demonstrate to this division that they're the best team in this division. And you see the way they're playing against Cincinnati. You see the way they played against the Cards. The Cubs have battled them pretty good. The Pirates have played them pretty well. They still want to demonstrate that this is a division. These are divisional games, and they want to win these series, and they're going out and doing it.
And the other thing, too, about the Brewers right now, you know, David Hamilton was hot, and he gets put on the injured list yesterday before the doubleheader due to a hamstring strain. They're hoping he's back by the end of the month. And you call up Greg Jones, and you see reaction to the lineups today. It's a reminder that this is a marathon, and this is a reminder that there is no rule in the rule book that says, oh, your lineup on July 8th must be used on October 4th in your first playoff game. Sometimes you've got to make sure you keep Bryce Turang healthy and keep him off his feet for a day. Sometimes you might even see William Contreras get the day off tomorrow. It might be just a straight Gary Sanchez type of day tomorrow, right? Because William's going to get ready to go to the All-Star game pretty soon. He's not going to get as much of a break as everybody else is going to get. Obviously, Miz is not pitching in the All-Star game, but he's going to go on Sunday most likely. So sometimes, Augie, I think it is important to understand winning the series yesterday enables this team, I'm not saying to take the foot off the pedal, but I think you understand, knowing you lived it, in the fact that sometimes you just have to look in the mirror and say, I need to make sure that this team is good to go in August and September. And you know what? Bryce Turang, take a seat, man. You're riding pine for the day. I'm saving you from yourself, and that's okay on a day like today.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's not only the 4 days that you get off or 5 days that you get off at All-Star break. Those are really, really important. But you know what? You can really help get the rest by doing what you do, way the Brewers are playing now. Like you said, they've won the series. They can alter the lineup. They can get some guys in there and get in the lineup and get some swings and play some defense and pitch, get some pitching in. But I think what's as important is the break that you get rid of for the 4 days at All-Star break. If you can add to that, if you can add a couple extra days off for guys like Turang and Contreras and these guys, it's so important. And I agree with you. What comes up in October is a little bit more important than what happens in July. Not that you want that you think that these games aren't important in July, but I tell you what, you got to be well rested. The end of the season comes tough, and you all know that August is really one of the toughest months in the game of baseball. So getting that little rest is going to help this ball club.
You know, for the Brewers right now, they still have a team record through 92 games, 58-34. They have the second best run differential in baseball. They have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. They have a really solid young core. They have the best road record in baseball. They have the second best home record in the National League. I mean, I'm looking at all things that's going well, and I've said this cliche over and over again, but I'll say it again here. Even a 100-win team loses 62 of them. It's okay. You can lose a battle and still win a war down the road for the crew. Who's Hot and Cold is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Whether it's a day on the lake, the golf course, the ballpark, when you come home, you want to come home to comfort with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. You can keep your AC running at its best with a midsummer checkup. Visit Sider.com, Sider.com, to schedule service today and stay cool all summer long. There was a silver lining from this game, and we'll talk a little bit about that and who will be starting tomorrow's game. It's not TBD. It's an old friend that we know very well. Back with more in a moment on 620 WTMJ. You know, one thing we didn't address with Kyle Harrison. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. You know, Kyle spoke to the reporters a little while ago in St. Louis, and he talked about the fact that he was dealing with some soreness on the outside of his elbow as the Brewers fall 5-1 today. Kyle only went 4 innings and 70 pitches, so that might explain part of the shortened outing today. Now, I will say, not a scientist here, not a pitcher, you are, Augie, but if you want to have soreness in your elbow, the outside's where you want it to be, because the inside, that's where all the dangerous stuff is. That's where the ligaments are hanging. That's where your Tommy John area is. That's where your flexor is. But the outside of the elbow kind of tells you, hopefully, it's general fatigue. He's expecting an all-star break to clear things right up.
Yeah, we just talked about what it's going to help this young man to have a little bit of break here and take some time off and get away. And I agree with you. The outside is more like, it's just more like fatigue in the arm. And those things happen throughout the season. He hasn't been a starter that's been gone this far. And we talked earlier about how those starts 15 to 20 to 22 are very, very tough. You haven't done this in the past. This is that long journey that you're having throughout the season. So, yeah, as long as it's not the inside part where you got the ulnar nerve and the things in there, that's a really good sign. Arm fatigue can help with the little rest that they have now. And it's going to be important. It's going to be important for these pitchers to understand. I think when you talk, like I talked before with Chris Hook and Jim Henderson, they're gonna change a routine for these guys and get them more set in a routine that'll get them through August and into September and hopefully into the playoffs. So it's gonna change a lot, but the starts that you have, this is a journey, and you get into those starts, it starts to wear on you. And being on the outside, probably arm fatigue, he needs that little bit of rest, and it's gonna come in handy.
Tomorrow, the Brewers will be handing the ball to Logan Henderson. He will be activated off the injured list. Now, there needs to be a corresponding move for him to be activated. That will most likely be, unfortunately, just to speculate here, probably Garrett Stallings, who pitched very well today. It's a silver lining, given that he gave the Brewers two key innings of relief in today's game, not needing to use anybody else aside from Grant Anderson and aside from Jared Koenig. So you have the full leverage bullpen available and ready to go tomorrow. But for Logan Henderson, I mean, we haven't seen him since he had that great start back in May, remember, when he was a tremendous against the Yankees and then was getting really excited to go to Houston, his hometown. And I should say he was tremendous against the Dodgers. He went 5 innings, 7 strikeouts, did not allow a run of them. He was also very good against the Yankees, going 5 strong with 5 strikeouts. Then he had some back tightness, and now he's finally back about a month and a half later. He's been stretched out to 75 pitches or so. Maybe it's a little longer than that in a big league game with big league adrenaline going. But here comes the changeup specialist again, who's going to be auditioning to stick around in this rotation if he can stay healthy.
Boy, you really like the way he's been throwing the ball. He's just been, it seemed like, for as he's gone through his career and gotten up here and pitched a lot so well up here in the major leagues, that he's gotten so much more aggressive in the strike zone. He's got all the confidence in the world in that changeup. He can throw it at any time. But it's not just a changeup. He's been able to locate his fastball and his off-speed stuff very well. His secondary pitches have been really, really important for him. When he's got the fastball and he needs it, he can go get it. He can locate it in and out, expand the strike zone a little bit. But those secondary pitches that he throws, when he's got those working, he's been awful, awful tough. But being aggressive in the strike zone for Logan Henderson has really made a big difference in his style.
You know, with Logan, remember, he came up last year, then he dealt with a flexor strain. He only made 6 starts. He's just about to finally shed his prospect status, given how few innings he's thrown in the major leagues. But for Logan, let's be also honest about it. This is a guy that the Brewers have stuck by, and they believe in saying, this is a big league starter. They've had opportunities to make him a reliever. I mean, the changeup should obviously play as a reliever. The fastball velo will tick up when you're out of the bullpen, but yet he has had gaudy strikeout numbers his entire minor league career. And you ask anybody in baseball, what's the number one thing you look for when you're looking in the minors? You're not necessarily looking at ERA. You're not necessarily looking at the advanced stuff. Sometimes you're just simply looking, is this guy missing bats? And Logan Henderson has done that not only at the minor league level, but he's done it at the big league level too. He's a fly ball pitcher. He's about to pitch in a pitcher's ballpark too, so that helps his regard as well. But man, I'm just excited that I'm hoping, he hasn't been able to stay healthy his entire career. He's kind of the pitching version of Garrett Mitchell, if you will, in the Brewers farm system right now. He's never made more than 19 starts in a season. He's never thrown more than 81 innings in a season. So this is going to be hopefully uncharted territory through him throughout the rest of this year. He's currently at 47 innings total. They're going to need him to get over 100 and hopefully have him involved in October in a pennant chase.
I totally agree, and that's that aggressiveness. And, you know, he's got the, we talk about the swing and miss and all that stuff. He's got that rare ability to really command the strike zone. Like I said, I think his aggressiveness in the strike zone has really been dividends, but he also has that ability to expand the strike zone. And he gets that because he can take that changeup and that off speed, those secondary pitches, and play the corners with them and use them up and use them down and use them to both sides of the plate. When you can do that and be emphatic about your fastball to good locations and expand the strike zone, you're going to be really effective. And I agree with you. He's an important part of this ball club as a starter because he's got those quality pitches. For him to get out there and have a couple good starts, get back in the routine that he needs to be, is going to be really important. It's going to be good to see him before the All-Star break to go out and get a start before the Brewers go to the All-Star break and have a break.
You know, as you look at this leverage bullpen right now for the Brewers, obviously McGill didn't pitch in either game of the doubleheader yesterday because he was on the heels of 3 out of 4. He's available tomorrow. Abner Uribe pitched in game one of the doubleheader yesterday, only 19 pitches. He's certainly available tomorrow. Aaron Ashby, 18 pitches in game one. He's available tomorrow. So as I look to get greedy, if you will, given Chad Patrick only threw 20 pitches in Monday night's games, he's available as well. What I'm trying to say here is even if Logan only goes five innings and 70 pitches or whatever, they've got the bullpen that's able to absorb this for a day before they head to Pittsburgh for the final three games of the first half. And quite frankly, the Brewers can get greedy. Thanks to Garrett Stallings, thanks to Craig Yoho these last 2 days to give them innings out of the back end of the bullpen when they didn't want to use anybody else. So go ahead and finish it off. Cut the head off the snake of the St. Louis Cardinals. You've already won the season series. Now make it hurt by going 4 out of 5 in their place. And also on the season, end up going, what would that be, 5 out of 6 at their place too, or 5 out of 7 at their place? That would be quite a way to send a message because you don't see these guys again until the very last series of the year.
Yeah, it is, and you always want to demonstrate that you are going to win this division and you're going to play well in division. When you play anybody within that division, they do mean a lot. It means a lot to this ball club. And, you know, you just said two names with Yoho and Stallings, who came in and just did a great job. Not only is that important that they went out and got those innings and gave the bullpen a little bit of rest, they came out and they proved that they can be competitive and that if needed, they can be called up and they can help this ball club down the stretch if they need it. And that's what's the most important, the confidence that these pitchers need, that if they're called upon to come up to the big leagues, if there's something happens where they're needed, they can come up with confidence and go out and help this ball club win. And that's what it's all about, getting through the All-Star break, getting in through that part of August, which is so tough, getting into September. Boy, it starts ramping up and baseball becomes a lot of fun.
You know, this is the stretch now, these final 4 days of the All-Star break. It only gets tougher, man. It only gets tougher. Your eye is staring at that itinerary in your email like, oh, man, I'm going to go see my family. I'm going to go on the beach. I'm going to go play some golf, whatever it may be. These 4 days are the hardest, and everybody across the league deals with it. But Logan Henderson gets the ball tomorrow. Then the Brewers will reset with Brandon Sproat, Shane Rowan, and likely Jacob Mizorowski against the Pittsburgh Pirates over the weekend. And those are important games for the Pirates, too, so don't sleep on them as they try to stay afloat in some sort of playoff race. And, of course, you're going to face Braxton Ashcraft, who's now an All-Star, too. Paul Skeens, what more can you say about him? But here we are, 4 games to go in the first half. Go make a statement.
Yeah, and we got tomorrow's going to be an interesting matchup when you see what we have for the matchup. You got the Logan Henderson, but I'll tell you, Andre Pallante is 10-5. He's been throwing the ball very well. So this is a nice game. It's a nice, challenging game for Logan Henderson to go out and demonstrate that he's back and he can locate the ball. But good way to finish. A nice matchup. Hopefully the Brewers can come out, like you said, win 4 out of 5, going to Pittsburgh on a big high, and then take over from there until the All-Star break.
And then also, shout out to the Cardinals for giving the Brewers a night game getaway day on the way to Pittsburgh and on the right at the end of the half after making them play a doubleheader late in the year. But whatever, that's just pointing it out. You know, I'm just saying, come on, man. You know, put a roof on it. You know, I don't know. It's just, it's weird. Hopefully it backfires. Hopefully Brewers take 4 out of 5 in St. Louis. Jerry Augustine, appreciate you as always, my friend. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
All right. Well, hopefully it's going to be a good game. Hopefully they can get that 4 out of 5 and keep the streak going and playing well. And I'm looking forward to it. And it'll be a nice matchup. And I'm really interested in watching Logan Henderson pitch.
Yeah, he will be. He'll be on a pitch count, but he's been extremely effective when he's on the mound. Buy or Sell has been brought to you by Tony Windorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Windorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, and powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WindorfTeam.kw.com. Get to some texts, get to some chats. Also give you an update on Brandon Woodruff after the break here on 620 WTMJ. Tough to give a player of the game out today. We'll talk to a couple of thoughts here, a couple of texts here. Jeff from Elkhorn, just seemed a little flat tonight. Nothing really went our way. Just sort of a bummer the day with the loss and the news on Woody. One positive, Stallings did a nice job, and our A bullpen should be ready to go for tomorrow. This one, Bill from Madison. I saw Greg Jones back on the Brewers. I was like, what? I thought I gave up drinking. Greg Jones is here because David Hamilton is on the IL. He gives you some versatility. They wanted to give Bryce Turang a day off. Again, taps the sign. Your lineup on July 8th does not need to be your lineup on October 8th. This text asking about the base running on why Matt Erickson didn't send Jackson around third on Joey or Lara on Joey's double. Here's the thing. With the top of the order coming up and you make an out at the plate, again, Lars Nootbaar in left has a phenomenal throwing arm, as does Jordan Walker in right field. And when you're down and every out is precious at that point, you're trusting the top of the order to get the job done. And I know it's 2020 hindsight, and it thinks, oh, you should have sent him. You should have sent him. If he gets thrown out, I guarantee you would be texting, why did he send him? Why did he send him? I'm totally fine with it. I think that's when you're down 4-0, when you're down 5-1, and you're wasting outs at home. If it's a one-run game, different story, right? If you're trying to score the tying run. But when you just need base runners, you just need opportunities, and you have the top of the order coming up, and you got Andrew Vaughn coming off the bench, I'm fine with the stop sign there. This one from also from the 715. Jen had a pretty consistent strike zone tonight. Jen Powell was the home plate umpire, first woman umpire in Major League Baseball history. She made her debut last year. And then it brings up a question, why didn't Mitchell and Lara use challenge? I think they forgot they had one challenge remaining, honestly. Those were both pretty egregious. It happens. That's why we have the challenge system, because nobody's perfect. But that's what we talked about earlier. There's clearly some sort of gun shyness of being able to use the challenge when there's one remaining. But that was the situation to do it. In the ninth inning, you can't take them with you. I don't think it made a difference in the game, though, nonetheless. Brewers fall today by a 5-1 score. Now, we did get some bad news today on Brandon Woodruff. The initial results on the MRI were inconclusive, and then another report came out right around game time from Sophia Minert talking about more inflammation around the anterior capsule, which is the same shoulder and area that he was operated on back in 2023. This is alarming because now he's going for an opinion with Dr. Keith Meister. He's the Brewers team surgeon down in Dallas. He's one of the best in the biz when it comes to Tommy John's and it comes to pitching. He's kind of the heir apparent when we're talking, when we're talking Dr. Neil Eletrosh, when we're talking Dr. Richards, when we're talking about the greats of these surgeries, and Dr. Keith Meister is the next great one. And I hold my breath. I don't know how to sugarcoat this, because normally when you hear second opinion, you're like, okay, you're just trying to get all your ducks in a row and figure out what's going on. And it's not to say that the Brewers team doctors, opinions are bad. It's not that. It's just you want to make sure that you go to the guy that did your surgery, sees what he sees. He knows what it looks like underneath the skin, right? And I think for Brandon Woodruff, a couple of things are at play here. Reminder, capsule surgery is not easy to come back from, ever. Most guys, it's a career ender. And the fact that he pitched half a season last year, then had a lat strain to end his season, we'll never know what he could have done in October. And now he's only made, 7 starts in 2026? And it might be, a bad shoulder again. It makes me heartbroken for him. We'll find out more probably after the All-Star break. But let's just hope for the best, man. I think I don't want this to be the end of Brandon Woodruff's career, but you have to figure whatever Dr. Meister says, if surgery is on the table, I think everybody's going to hold their breath for the sake of Brandon Woodruff. And let's also get something out of the way too, and something clear as well. People complaining about the Brewers offering him the qualifying offer, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. The Brewers paid him to not pitch for them in 2024. That's how much they love Brandon Woodruff. And they saw it as a sign of respect. They saw it as a sign of, hey, thank you for sticking with us. We believe in you. You believe in yourself. Let's all hope for the best. Health is not guaranteed ever. And you may think, oh, well, then don't sign him. Well, if he went and signed with the Phillies or whatever, and he's shoving, and you don't know, right? You just don't know. That's why we play the games. That's why we, you know, put our bodies on the line to watch the best do this sport. And it sucks. I hope it gets some good news out of it for Brandon Woodruff, but today's news was ominous, and we'll find out more, and we will relay it once we know more. So the Brewers fall today 5-1. Player of the game brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit iamilwaukee.com. International Autos Group, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. On the Cardinals side, it's easily Alec Burleson, the go-ahead two-run shot, three RBIs on the day. Also, Michael McGreevy working into the seventh with six punch. If we're looking on the Brewers side of things, Garrett Mitchell, 2-for-4 with a double and a run scored. The only run of the day for the Brewers. Cooper Pratt quietly putting together some better at-bats as of late. That's good news for him. So those are your options. I'm thinking I'm going to go with Burleson because that ball that he hit, 443 feet, whew, that was a no-doubter. Pull side, big lefty. But the Brewers will try to make it a statement series with a 4-1 victory in the series tomorrow. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620. WTMJ. All right, it's a loss. No big deal. You lose a couple of games a week. 5-1, the final today. I'm Dominic Petronio. We're going for another 20 minutes or so here on the program. The manager is going to help us out talking about today's game with the assembled media in St. Louis. Here's Pat Murphy.
You know, he's fatigued. You know, it's obvious he's fatigued, and we gotta help him on that. You know what I mean? That's all there is to it. We got to help him. And, yeah, we could have left him, in there, but we're thinking about his future, and felt a little soreness, and yeah, we're not going to mess with it.
Was that the case last time? Is that resulting from his last start?
I mean, he's not injured. Again, we want to protect him. When we notice his stuff isn't quite as good, and he's not moving the same way, you know, we're going to protect these young starters.
When you say soreness, are you just talking general, or is it a elbow or shoulder?
Well, usually you don't get sore in your earlobe. Usually it's your arm. Yeah.
Okay.
And that, the stuff in the right field and center field in the early innings, are they fighting the sun, do you think?
I mean, I think the sun's a factor when you play Major League Baseball, or any baseball, actually, but you're in the big leagues because you can catch it. The first one, I feel sorry for the kid, but you got to catch that ball. It hit your glove. You just missed it. Center field, we got to catch that ball. That's not a great route, and then it's not making full extension and closing on. Those two balls are hit really hard, so Mitchell closed on that ball probably a long way, but he did the hard part. Now he's got to finish the job and catch that ball. Both those balls can be caught, and great teams catch those balls, so we didn't tonight, and that was the difference in the runs there. Then he gives up one hard contact after that, or two hard. He gave up a few hard contacts after that, but really he gives up the homer after that, and we're in a different ballgame if we catch those balls.
Greavy's obviously had a good year. What was he able to do tonight so effectively?
Yeah, he's really good. He kept his heater out of the middle of the plate. He threw his other pitches for strikes. He kept his heater out of the middle. Used it on the top rail. You know, he was very effective. He's a pitcher. He's a consummate pitcher. Did a great job.
If you have that opportunity in the seventh against a pitcher who's just up, can those, like, when you make decisions there about who to pinch hit, is that tougher when it's a guy who's just into the major leagues?
I mean, we have video. We have everything on the guy. People knew about him. They know his changeup's his best pitch. And Vaughn's our best guy off the bench, so that's what we did. No regrets on that at all.
Is it Vaughn over Trang because of that changeup?
I'm not going to use Trang today. Trang hasn't had an off day, and I don't know how long it's been, but he hasn't had it's been a long time since he's had an off day, and I wasn't going to use Trang there in that situation. If we're ahead in the game, we have a chance to tie the game, or there's the go ahead run, whatever. That's different. But my whole gist of today was rest Trang. Played a lot of baseball yesterday. He's played a lot of baseball, and he would never ask for the day, but we're going to give him that day. So,
how'd you like Stallings late today?
Yeah, that was great. Great performance. I'm so happy for the kid. He's throwing three great innings for us, and I'm really happy for him.
You mentioned just a little bit. How tough is this time of year for players right at the break, halfway through? Just the
30 teams. Yeah, 30 teams. Yep. All going through the same thing. So there's no disadvantage to us. You know what I mean? We're in a tough stretch, so what? I don't make excuses for the club. They don't want me to make excuses for them. Hopefully they understand it. And, I thought the at-bats were – there was a lot of poor at-bats today. A lot of good ones. Pratt, Lara. You look at Pratt, Lara, Ortiz, Mitchell, Yelich. Yelich got on base twice. There's a lot of guys in Yelich's position right now that have been through a lot of struggle, and he doesn't have his numbers where he wants them, but he's trending in the right direction in my opinion, so I'm happy for him. Good day today to get on base twice. Leadoff hitter Cooper Pratt, outstanding. Lara looks, again, every one of his at bats looks like a major league at bat already. Ortiz is trending in the right direction. Had one poor at bat, maybe two, but he's trending in the right direction. Mitchell continues; he's on fire. We got some other guys not trending, so hopefully we'll get back on track soon.
Yeah, those are guys we talked about earlier, right? Yelich being cold, Churio being cold, Frelick being cold right now. But hey, again, all 30 teams are dealing with it. Survive and advance. It's just that simple. Just get through these next four games. And then you come home for 10 with an off day in the middle of it. Everything will feel like a piece of cake. Because then the Brewers, their longest travel will probably not be until September. They're on the road a lot in September. They'll have another stretch where they have 6, 9, 12. They'll play 16 in a row coming up in September. Granted, some of the travel on that isn't that bad, where they'll be going to Williamsport, then get an off day the next day in New York, three games against the Mets, then they come back home for the Rangers, drive down to Chicago for four games with the Cubs, stay on the road for the quick flight over to Cincinnati, three games with the Reds, then you come back home for the Cubs. So the travel isn't brutal for that 16 in a row coming up in September, but the real hardest part will be that Little League World Series Classic coming up on August 23rd in what could be a really consequential game against the Braves. So that's something for down the road. Just a reminder, everybody deals with it this time of year. Not necessarily a full highlight segment, but there were some moments I want to point out as the Brewers fall today. 5-1 to the St. Louis Cardinals. Back with more in a moment on 620 WTMJ. You know, not a lot to talk about when the only run scored on a sacrifice fly for the Brewers and they fell 5-1 of the Cardinals. But Luis Lara, as frustrating as that first play was when he got hit in the face by a double off the bat of, Mason Wynn was the leadoff hitter today. I almost said Lars Nootbaar. But he did atone for it later in the game, back-to-back innings with a great play.
1-1. This is a fly ball to right. Hit pretty well. Lara back, spun around, reaches up. And he made the catch. Luis Lara made the catch. He's now lying on the ground out on the warning track. Oh, man, he spun around two different times. He is very slow to get up, but he made an incredible catch. I think he's really battling the sun. It's a tough sun out in right field.
Well, he held on. He stayed in the game. No big deal. First time for everything right now. First time with a third deck. First time in St. Louis. First time dealing with a big league warning track with, fans right on top. I mean, there's a lot to adjust from. I think that I would love, honestly, people ask all the time, like, what do you want average fans to understand about playing on a big league baseball field right now. Oh yeah, it's the same field as my high school field, yada yada. Look, as soon as you stand out there alone in right field on a big league diamond, you do not understand how much goes through an outfielder's head. Whereas, let's say a guy hits a ball and there's perfectly in the ribbon boards, right? You know, the ribbon boards around the loge level at American Family Field, and it just happens to be shiny. The ball ends up in that, like, oh God, or in the lights, just a low sinking liner. Oh God, where'd it go? And then you got the warning track. You know, Laura has had a lot going on, a doubleheader. He didn't really get a chance to get out on the field probably much yesterday. So it's a brand new field and a lot going on. So it's no surprise that coming forward is easier for him.
The pitch is flied into shallow right. Lara's coming on in. Lara's still coming. Goes into a dive forward, and Luis Lara makes the catch right before it hit the grass. A terrific catch again. Two innings in a row for the rookie, who is being tested and then some here tonight behind Harrison.
You know, for the balance of the roster right now, Lara's up. Probably going to take some playing time from Sal Frelick in the meantime. Yelly's probably not coming out of this order. He's going to hit through it unless Yelly takes himself out of the order, which just isn't going to happen. I don't think the Brewers would even let him do that as the highest paid player on the team. But then Lara's going to not play, I would say, every day, but most days. I would say Lara plays somewhere between, you know, probably 3 or 4 days a week. Shuffle it in with Frelick. Maybe you now have somebody, because he's equally good both the right and the left side. If Sal starts the game against a righty and then they bring in a lefty, you get Lara off the bench and hits for Sal. I could see that happening moving forward for the Crew. The last highlight I want to play isn't a Brewers highlight. It's just the sound. I mean, Alec Burleson crushed this
baseball. 3-2 pitch is a high fly ball, deep right field. This is way back, and it is way gone. That was hit a long way off the bat of Alec Burleson.
443 feet to be exact there, Lane. And that made it 5-0. The Brewers, like we said, their only run scored on a sack fly from Cooper Pratt. And that was it. That's all she wrote. Brewers fall today by a 5-1 score. Take a quick lap around the league and get you ready for tomorrow. Same time, same place. Brewers and Cardinals finale in the Lou for the regular season. Goodness gracious, I hope the Brewers don't have to go there in October. But hey, nonetheless, we'll wrap up the show after this on 620 WTMJ. First, same time, same place tomorrow. 6:45 first pitch. We're on the air at 6:10, and I'll be with you for postgame once again tomorrow night. Then the Brewers go on to Pittsburgh. Speaking of Pittsburgh, Jared Jones had a perfect game through six, and they've been monitoring his pitch count all season as he returns from Tommy John surgery. He was pulled after six innings and 77 pitches, and of course, the Braves came back and won that game 3-0. Again, perfect through six, and then Ozzie Albies broke it up with a single. And then later on in the eighth inning, a two-run homer from former Pirate Joey Bart. And then they added another RBI late in the game from Drake Baldwin. 3-0 Braves in that one. How about the Tampa Bay Rays? The Rays go ahead and take the first three. They've won the series against the New York Yankees. They go for the mop tomorrow. Bigger than a sweep because it's a four-game series instead of a three. They go for the mop tomorrow against the New York Yankees. The lead for the Rays in the AL East is now up to 5 games. 5 games. The Rays have the best record in the American League. I'm going to say that again. The Tampa Bay Rays have the best record in the American League. And here, furthermore, if the Rays win tomorrow and they do finish that mop, they claim the season series on the Yankees. Whoa, catching them at a great time without Aaron Judge. Elsewhere, Reds beat up on the Phillies 11-5. A much more calm game in Queens. Mets over Royals 6-2 in the Irrelevant Bowl. Angels beat up on the Rangers. The Rangers are back to 500, 13-1. Mike Trout hit a homer in that game. Marlins, they're the hottest team in baseball. They blanked the Mariners 2-0 today behind a great effort from Tyler Phillips and the bullpen as Kyle Stowers hit a solo homer in that contest for Miami. Detroit and Justin Verlander announcing that he will retire at season's end. Detroit victorious over the A's 6-1. Tarek Skubal pitched well in that contest against his childhood team yesterday, as Troy Melton got the win today for Detroit. Toronto and Dylan Cease had a no-hitter into the ninth inning, and then Elliot Ramos bat flipped a clean single up the middle, down 10-0. Whew. When things go bad, when it rains, it pours for the Giants. Willy Adames is still dealing with some back issues. He's all the way down to sixth in the order now, and he's down to a 229 batting average for the Gigantes. Now, other games in action right now. The Rockies, yes, the Rockies have a chance to win a series at Dodger Stadium. It's 3-3 in the bottom of the sixth inning in L.A. They took the Dodgers to their first extra inning game on Monday night. And also in San Diego, it's Padres 4, Diamondbacks 1. Michael King has pitched well in that contest so far. Also a RBI double for Miguel and Duhar in that contest. That is going to just about do it for our program here this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in. Reminder, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts, is where you can catch these commercial-free. And enjoy if you didn't catch the entire program. Another show tomorrow. And then a reminder, I'll say this tomorrow too, I'm off for the weekend. I am not working the Pirates series. We're going to, you know, take a little vacay, enjoy the All-Star break, get a little extra time as well. We've done just about every game so far. Matt Yazel has been our producer. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Dominic Catronio. Keep on swinging.